boys and girls, pets and creatures of every make and model, fans of entertainment, shenanigans alike. Welcome back to Legends Podcast. I'm Beef.
I'm Wing.
And I'm John O'Lobster. Legends Podcast returns to the work of Nacho Vigalondo, who we last saw in Cronovember as the director of Time Crimes. When party girl Gloria is forced to leave her life in New York City and move back to her small town home, she starts to realize that she is connected to the giant monster that has been terrorizing Seoul, Korea. Anne Hathaway, Jason Sudeikis, Dan Stevens, and Tim Blake Nelson star in this genre-bending film. But is it a huge success or a colossal waste of time? Let us be the judge.
It's basically a movie about a bunch of guys trying to tell a girl how to live and feel.
Yes.
And she's the only actress in the movie except stock footage Asian girls.
Yes. But she's awesome.
This movie is so fucking whack. Right. Yes. At the end of the first 4 minutes, my girlfriend looks at me and goes, okay, we just got two trailers for two different movies. Let's see what this third segment is.
Yeah.
And, you know, I knew the shtick. I knew that she was going to control the kanji or whatever.
Because we talked about the trailer.
Kaiju.
Yeah. We talked about the trailer for this probably a year ago before the film came out.
Right.
And I know that we were intrigued then, and it kind of stuck in our craw.
But it tries to be like a kaiju comedy. Then it tries to be like a tale of not drinking and getting all too fucked up too much.
And then it's about abusive relationships.
Yeah, then it morphs into this abusive relationship. Then it's this horrifying, like, basically hostage relationship. Like, I don't, what the fuck? My girlfriend and I are going, what the fuck is this?
Oh my God, you saw way more in this than I saw. I basically saw this as a badly written.
Did you watch all of it though?
Yes, I did. Badly written Sweet Home Alabama, but instead of the girl learning to face life, face her stuff, instead of that, she runs away. Yep. And does all that on the phone and in her phantasm. I'm like, what the fuck is this movie? It's so bad. The other guy, the other dude that's the main actor, flip on a coin when she sleeps with his best friend that can't even say his own name.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, dear
they
God.
Don't remember being struck by lightning together as kids.
Well, only she was struck by lightning. They were all struck by lightning.
Yeah, that last shot, it shows. You see her struck by lightning early on, but the very last shot, you see him struck by lightning as well.
And you see the bags with both their action figure that became their avatar.
Right. Neither of them had to go to the ER after that.
Or how does no one realize that these giant things destroying the city are these action figures? Like, no one sees them on eBay and says, hey, wait a second, those things are these things.
Right. So they don't remember those.
But the movie doesn't bother with any of that. The movie is telling that other story about these abusive relationships.
Like you said, it's Sweet Home Alabama. I'll do you one better. It's a Nicholas Sparks story about going home, rediscovering your high school sweetheart or whatever, and finding out you both control giant monsters and are terrible people. Well, at least the one guy is. Anne Hathaway is a terrible person to start with, but
Learn anything. She ends up ordering a drink.
She was surrounded by asshole men. I get that, but she was a pretty. She's a pretty parasitic person. She uses and uses and enjoys using. Like, yeah,
at all. She used her ex boyfriend, which
she used Legion.
That's where I saw him from. Yeah, but she still used what's his face a little bit in the beginning. But, it was easy.
Saturday Night Live. He was.
He keeps dropping her stuff when he feels bad.
Yeah.
He's not doing that for her. He's doing that to own her, basically. Like, the more I own around you, the more you owe me, the more I own you.
You realize he's a hoarder, and that's why he has so much crap.
Right.
So, yeah, that too.
But this movie is all over the board.
Goes nowhere, you know?
Until they blow up the bar.
Yeah, yeah. And she's not going to leave with you even if I do the most irresponsible thing. What the fuck?
It was a good,
where did that scene
good
came from?
Moral. Good moral there.
Yeah, yeah, it. This was painful.
It was. It really was. That's a bad, bad. And I was looking at Anne Hathaway, and I was like, she looks like the girl in Batman, but this movie's so cheap. Can't be her.
She has a wig on, which I was trying to figure out the timing of this. Had she just had her head shaved for Les Mis?
Yeah, maybe, but
was that around this time? So that's why she has long hair. But it's very clearly a iffy wig.
But I can't believe she accepted this movie. It's the
no. She sought it out. She was the first one to sign on for this, even before it had financing, because she felt like she was in a slump in her career and wanted to try something that was far out.
Oh dear God!
And for a little bit, and for a time, it was. But other than that, it was just, what the fuck did I just watch?
Again, we were talking about Black Mirror last week. It's the same thing. This should have been a 60-minute episode.
So, Nacho Vigalondo directed Time Crimes, which, again, we talked about, I believe, at that time as kind of a Black Mirror-esque storyline. Do you think that's his trick?
Well, he did the first one with not much money, and it felt a little bit too long. So yeah, his trick would be like, here you go, you have a 60 minute to tell a story and come up with stuff. You would be good at that. But the premise here is interesting. The way it's used is useless. It doesn't,
it's rewarding that she ends up killing him at the end.
Is
that
it?
Is rewarding. I think so.
I'm so out of the movie at that point that I'm like, I'm not going to even try to understand how she knows she's actually over there and how she knows she's grabbing him and she's not in center of town. I'm just, because the other guys have the iPad.
Yeah. Well, it seems that she, all right. So you're talking about at the end where she flies to Seoul and reverses the polarity of the connection.
Oh, there, yeah.
So that she can be in Vancouver rather than in Seoul, Korea, which is also Vancouver.
Yeah.
So my impression was that somehow she had gained more control over it. Because when he screams bitch at her at the end, it seems like she hears him.
That's
so
true.
I think maybe there's a, like, she's gained more control, or she's now she's done it from both ends, I guess. She's better at it. I don't know.
Sure, I'll take
it. I don't know. Again, the movie isn't interested. The movie doesn't really explain other than the setup of why it is what it is and why it's Seoul, because it's the model that he stomps on as a kid.
Which is really just convenient.
It's cute. It's a cute idea, right? But there's no logic to why that's why how it is.
Yeah, no, it's really just, we're going to put that there so we don't have to explain that shit. Here's the story we really want to tell.
Yeah, a cooler story would have been there's a kid in Seoul who makes a monster in Vancouver and vice versa, and then they have to figure it out.
Yeah, that would have been a better version of that concept, you know?
Anyway, again, this is another movie. We talked about Mute last week. This is another movie that probably could have been shorter. This is almost 2 hours.
Can't believe they released that in theater.
It did get a theatrical release.
It's because they hadn't had the Netflix down the stream pipeline set up yet.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that would have been dumped so fast. God. Maybe it's good that I don't work for a studio company. I would dump everything on Netflix.
Yeah.
And then you'd complain that all the stuff's ending up on Netflix.
Yeah, it's all direct-to-video quality. Well, when you do that, you end up with what you pay for. And again, this wasn't a cheap movie. This was budgeted at $15 million. Well, it made accounts vary, but probably under 5 million.
What did we say? Mute was 10 million last week?
Yeah, I don't even know.
Mute at least looked better.
No.
Yeah, I mean, the only real CG is the two monsters, and they look about Pacific Rim quality. The cool thing that the film does most of the time is it shows them to you on like an iPhone screen, so it's okay, or they're filmed with an iPhone. So
yeah, that's that kind of work, because let's face it, their big thrilling effect were feet in the sand.
Yeah, which is fine. It's good.
It's a good way to not spend money on the destruction.
One thing that kind of stuck out to me is, I think we mentioned it briefly, Jason Sudeikis' Oscar, the heel turn for his character is abrupt, to say the least, right? Like, he seems like a nice guy. He's bringing her stuff. He gives her a job. And then he's an evil asshole.
Yeah, it's like you slept with a guy I know, and now, yeah, it's just weird.
Yeah,
it's a quick turn.
And I think they kind of justify it later on, because you go to his house and you see the shithole that he lives in, and you realize, you know, you don't really know people until you know people. But at the same time, from a character development sort of way, it is that the she sleeps with Joel, and then Joel doesn't have any more lines in most of the movie. And also can't think for himself. So,
nope. He's one of the worst characters I've ever seen in a movie.
Even Tim Blake Nelson is good in this. Like him.
Yeah. I don't know. That was God. This one was short though. What, an hour and a half?
No, it was
like an hour 50.
110 minutes. It was almost 2 hours. So, again, that. Not what I expected, but also it delivered something I didn't expect, which for a girl controlling a giant kaiju, it found some twists that I enjoyed. But definitely once you realize that Anne Hathaway's character has a type, because I think Dan Stevens is probably as manipulative on a certain level as Oscar, it kind of plays.
Yeah. Agreed.
And honestly, the last shot of this movie is brilliant, when she's in the bar and she's got the big grin on her face, and then the bartender says, well, do you want a drink? And she goes, huh.
She groaned a lot too. I noticed that, because she was always passing out in awkward positions. So every time she woke up, she's like,
Yes, being a kaiju takes a lot out of you.
That's from the stiff neck too.
Yeah.
She was always up against a wall or on a sleeping or on a backpack or.
Yeah, hefting around an uninflated air mattress.
Or her air mattress deflated in the middle of the night. Like, you know,
that's the worst. Have you ever had that happen to you?
Yes.
That is.
Yeah, has this happened to you?
Yeah. Have you experienced issues, deflation? Do you feel like the air has been let out?
But let's be honest. If you've slept on an air mattress, that happened to you. Simple as that.
If you've slept on an air mattress, it has deflated.
An air mattress more than once, and it wasn't right out of the box, brand new.
Yeah, and even then.
Yeah, well, because you're supposed to fill them up, or then leave them for like 3 days and keep filling them up. That like stretches the shizzle, so that I know there's rules, there's instructions.
Just get a futon, man.
Or that. All right. I mean, I'm ready to rate this pig. Anyone else?
Hell yeah. Let's go.
Music by Bear McCreary. I always like to point out anytime he does something.
Right. All the BSG ties.
Yep. All fun, good stuff. The last movie I think that we watched that he did the music for was Knights of Badassdom.
Oh, nice.
Which was probably rewatch that more often than this one.
Oh, definitely. All right. Well, let's fire this off. Wing. Jesus.
Colossal.
There we go. Thank you. Wing for Colossal. Are you going legendary?
Pacific Win.
Legend of its time.
Being John Malka Godzilla.
Cult legend.
Soul Survivor.
Awesome.
Where Anne hath a will, Anne hath a way.
Entertaining.
Notice the fingers gyrating around the entertainment center.
Mabel.
Kaiju Later.
Forgettable.
Head Scratcher.
Abysmal.
Pacific Grim.
Spring Breakers, Highlander, D&D.
Definitely Godzilla 98.
Oh, God. This is forgettable. This is clearly forgettable. I'm not going to remember that in 3 months. Hopefully. I don't want to remember it. It's not as bad as Mute. But it's not good. And, yeah, I wish I didn't spend an hour and 45 minutes to watch that. So, yeah, it's forgettable. It's very forgettable. But I'm not going to give it a scratcher. I'm going to give it, like, Godzilla 2014. Because that you see the monster as much also. As that.
Yeah.
So. Beef?
Yeah, I think I'm going to flip-flop with you. I'm going to go abysmal.
Grim.
Pacific Grim. This tried to get off the ground so many times. In the beginning, I'm like, okay, this might work. There might be some fun here. And then I just didn't feel good about it at all. It was real preachy with everything from her being a shit bum with her alcohol, and then every guy around her is a shithead. And then, yeah, dude's just, I don't know. It was all wrong all the time. So, abysmal. Lobster.
Yeah, I'm going to give it Head Scratcher. So, once again, I'm staying the exact same, but flipping with, I guess I'm agreeing with Wing now instead of with you. Almost mayable, Kaiju Later. Like, I enjoy Anne Hathaway's performance in this. I enjoy the monster setup.
Yes.
I think that's kind of a cool premise for a film. I mean, I even bought the Hokum Struck by Lightning, Tiny Model Town of Seoul. Like, it's fine. Like, that all kind of works to me. And it certainly, for having seen Time Crimes, it plays with what I think the director's strengths are. Time Crimes didn't do character development, really. It didn't give you much of that. So I think where this falls flat is trying to show you more about these characters and having their personalities inform their decisions. Ultimately, you find out that some of the characters are really one-dimensional. There isn't much to them. And also, it's interesting to me that there is this abrupt turn with Jason Sudeikis's character. Again, this, like Paul Rudd in Mute, you have a comedic actor playing against type, kind of. And playing a jerk, bad guy, not a nice man. But at the same time, you know, you don't see an established pattern where he's like abusive to his friends, and you know,
until the hammer falls.
Yeah, well, yeah. But at the same time, the one friend that sleeps with his friend is the guy he keeps or sleeps with Anne Hathaway is the guy that he keeps around. Instead of, you know, if it was the other guy that he kind of is mean to. So, I don't know. I don't really know what to make of it. It is a head-scratcher.
All right, so last word on Colossal, fellas.
It's a colossal tragedy.
A colossal disappointment.
Colossal waste of time.
A colostomy bag full of shit.
Ooh.
Okay, what let's move on.
Time.
All right. So as we're recording this, we're actually oddly recording on a Sunday night. And it is just estimated weekend box office returns, but it looks like Black Panther is coming in at $41 million above the $33 million that A Wrinkle in Time opened with. So that's a bit of a disappointment for A Wrinkle in Time. Again, Disney spent $100 million on this movie to have it open at number two after Black Panther had been out for 4 weeks.
But that's what happened when you release all the big movies.
You're the one studio. You compete against yourself. We talked about this in reference to moving up Avengers last time. In response to Solo being at the end of the month. But at the same time, the reviews for A Wrinkle in Time weren't great. It didn't have good word of mouth propelling it.
The trailers didn't look even good at all. So,
yeah, great novel, maybe unfilmable. Maybe this kind of proves it, that it's not something that plays well to television. Movies. Might make a good TV show. I don't know. Strangers Pray at Night opened number 3. And down the list, the new film, The Hurricane Heist. I guess some people went to see it. I don't know.
Yeah, some people went to see it. I don't know. Jumanji is still in the top 10, for Christ's sake.
Jumanji is still in the top 10, even though it's now out on home video, I believe. You can get it, at least on digital. Yeah. So, news-wise, Denis Villeneuve says his Dune will be at least 2 movies. I'm not sure how that's going to work, but...
It's not even greenlit yet. Relax, man. Relax. Start by writing them. Let's see if the studio want to make
them. Start by having your other big budget movies not kind of flop at the box office.
Yeah.
Would be a good way to keep making movies. Jon Favreau is going to write and produce a live action Star Wars series for streaming to launch or to tie in with
that's Disney the Star only Wars part stream. Of this that is new. The for streaming, every time we hear this, it's like, okay, we'll see.
Somebody's going to do a new
live action, blah, 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 Star Wars.
Live action Star Wars series, not movies, but TV show. And we talked about Wonder Woman 2 story ideas a couple weeks ago. Then it was rumored that Kristen Wiig was circling the part of the villain in the film, and now it's confirmed that Kristen Wiig, also from Saturday Night Live, will play Cheetah.
Did you see the mock-ups of her? Like some fans have done.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I mean, she's pretty cool. She could do it. I could see that. Gal Gadot put a post out. She's excited. So
good.
Cool.
Good. Good. Good.
Yeah, she's not gonna say like, this sucks, I don't want to work with this person.
Lame use of whatever. So anyway, good. Trailer dump. I have 3 trailers. The Grinch from Illumination. Christmas release, it looks like. Thoughts?
I don't care.
Don't care. Okay. Neither do I.
I don't have children, so the Grinch really does nothing for me.
The other thing is that these stories are not very important here in America. The only reason why I know about the Grinch is because they keep remaking that movie every 10 years. That's the only reason.
Dr. Seuss doesn't play in...
Not at all. Zero.
Canada.
Really?
No. Yeah, because it's a lot of play on word in English. Try to translate that.
Was also a lot of made up words, right?
So that didn't play a lot here. Other crap did, but every time when I seen the Lorax the first time, it was a cartoon and it was a movie.
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you. How about Pooh? Do you like Pooh?
Winnie the Pooh, yes.
Yeah, okay, Winnie the Pooh you like. Okay, so Christopher Robin, Ewan McGregor plays a grown-up version of Christopher Robin who reconnects with his childhood friend.
Wait a minute, is this like their version of Ted?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of looks like Ted. Kind of looks like Ted in a way.
I mean,
Disney's Ted.
But it's from Disney.
Okay.
So
he might maybe less pot smoking and masturbation cock.
I mean,
probably.
You know, he doesn't wear pants. He likes honey a lot. So you know,
could be honey bad. Pots.
That could play. Again, so we talked last time about Mary Poppins Returns. And I give the edge in first looks to Christopher Robin. I think the trailer looked a little bit more interesting. It showed us a little bit more. And I have more nostalgia, I guess, for the Pooh stories than Mary Poppins. You know, as you know, I am a big fan of Pooh.
Oh, stop it.
And finally, we got a short trailer for House of Cards Season 6. And
Did they just gun him down in the streets or something? Or how did they handle the crossover?
They do it in the trailer, yeah. They say, President Underwood is going to now be an AI on the moon.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're sorry.
Yeah. Goodbye. Yep.
Yeah, at this point, that's I'm very curious to see how the first episode is going to play. I'm really curious.
And again, I think that'll drive people to check it out if you, I guess, previously had given up on House of Cards. So maybe people will check it out. And they just have to, I think, hook people in and make them watch the whole season. But
if you watch the last two seasons, Claire Underwood clearly became one of your favorite characters. So... They were in a great position to reposition the show.
She sex murders a guy.
Spoilers,
yeah. But you know, anytime that happens in a thing, it's interesting. It's
fucked up, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, that is news and trailer dump.
Next time, Legends Podcast, Black Mirror Special. Yay!
Yeah, so this will be interesting. So we talked a little bit about this last week. And Black Mirror is something that we'd been playing around with doing on the podcast. And we tried to figure out how to approach this. And rather than do a whole series of episodes or anything like that, we're just going to talk about three episodes of the show, kind of spread out. And we each picked one episode that we wanted to discuss. Beef, what was your pick?
White Bear.
I picked San Junipero. And Wing, what did you pick?
I picked the... what's the name again? The USS Canister.
Yeah, the USS Canister.
Callister.
Callister. There you go.
I like Canister.
I do, too. It works. If you think about it, it works.
It does work, yeah, a lot.
Yeah, I kept calling it the Star Trek episode. I want to watch the Star Trek
episode. Basically, it is the Star Trek episode, probably the most anticipated episode of the most recent season. So we're talking Black Mirror next week, so watch those three episodes.
Yeah, please, if you listen, please watch the episodes before you come to the show, because it's all going to be spoilers.
Do your homework so you can watch those three episodes if you've never seen any Black Mirror, and then we will talk about them, and then we'll probably also discuss what other episodes were in the running.
Yes,
and
we should really do that, because I think there's going to be a lot of crossover between mine and your other running episodes.
Yes.
So, this has been episode 364 of Legends Podcast. I'm Beef saying, thank you, BBC, for another quality show, Black Mirror.
I'm Lobster saying it was actually Channel 4, not the BBC.
Well, Britain, right?
So, yes, Britain, and thank you, Netflix, for picking it up and keeping it going.
And I'm going to say, hopefully this is going to be better in the last 2 weeks.
It's definitely in the same vein, kind of, so...
I haven't seen Black Mirror. Come on.
Well, you saw one or two. So.
Yeah.
But you didn't like them, so that's also good.
See, that's perfect also, in the same vein, then.
Yeah. So, good. All right.
Great.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to leave us feedback, you can find us on Twitter and Facebook at Legends Podcast. For all our contact information, as well as other shows, look to GunnaGeek.com and KrakenCast.com. You can also visit legendspodcast.libsyn.com, where you'll find our complete archives. The music heard on this podcast is Danger Storm by Kevin MacLeod and can be found at incomputech.com. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of each individual host and do not represent Legend Stream Canada, Gunna Geek, or KrakenCast. No infringement is intended.